app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Preemptive pardons may be on the way in these waning days of the Biden administration. CBS News has learned the president is considering action to protect some of President-elect Trump's foes from possible retribution and future prosecution. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
It might include the California senator-elect Adam Schiff, a Democrat who's been a prominent critic, was a member of the first impeachment trial prosecution team, and a member of the special House committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney is another name that could potentially benefit.
Pete Hegseth is still trying to salvage his bid to become defense secretary. CBS News has learned Hegseth submitted to an FBI background check. He's also continuing meetings with key lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
We've had great conversations about who I am and what I believe, and frankly, the man I am today. Because of my faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and my incredible wife.
New York City police may be close to identifying the suspect in the murder of United Healthcare CEO in Manhattan Wednesday. They say he arrived on a bus from Atlanta days before the shooting, and they released photos of his face uncovered at a hostel. Matthias Taranto says he stayed there at the same time.
The police was like right there, and the fellow told me that his friend was in the same room as that guy, and he was like, no, I'm sure that's it.
Aftershocks rattling Northern California after yesterday's magnitude 7 earthquake.
Do you feel it? This is so weird. We're literally moving right now.
That woman in Chico, CBS News San Francisco's Kenny Choi.
The offshore quake briefly triggered a tsunami warning and mass evacuation. Before it was canceled, at least 5 million coastal residents were told to seek higher ground, from the Oregon border to as far south as the city of San Francisco, where the zoo was shut down.
A Russian woman accused of stowing away on a Delta flight from New York to Paris is scheduled to make a court appearance in New York today. Officials believe Svetlana Dali blended in with crew members after she was turned away when she tried to get on the plane without a boarding pass. CBS New York's Elijah Westbrook.
Prosecutors argue that Dali is a flight risk and should be held behind bars until the counsel is able to finish reviewing the details surrounding this case.
Wall Street is bracing for today's jobs report. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
We are expected to see a bounce back. The October numbers were so low, just 12,000 jobs added, primarily due to the combined impact of two hurricanes as well as strikes.
S&P futures down 2. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have a new show that they say will be as unforgettable as the first show they did together called, who cares? The duo is collaborating again for Peacock's new show, Paris and Nicole, The Encore. The short 3-episode series drops December 12th on Peacock. Following in the footsteps of Ross and Rachel, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are on a break after dating for a year due to rumors of infidelity on the part of Keoghan, who apparently has been hooking up with a TikToker, probably someone who got famous lip-syncing Carpenter songs. The influencer's name is Becky Hill, and she has 4 million followers on OnlyFans, which is somehow 5 million more than I have. People assume infidelity is the reason they split, but maybe Carpenter finally saw Saltburn and hasn't stopped vomiting. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, and it will be a little warmer. We'll get to 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 18 tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. 40 tomorrow by Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be back in the studio and we'll talk about the holidays, the latest in politics, and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes piña coladas but hates getting caught in the rain, Peach Wabba.
Welcome to hour number two of this Thursday edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me this evening on this blustery, cold night, at least in northeast Wisconsin. It's blustery and cold, but my next guest can maybe confirm what the weather is like in Madison, because I think he lives in the greater Madison area. He has become a frequent flyer on the show, and we love having Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogge on to tell us about all the cool things going on in our state. Logan, how are you?
Pete, I am doing great today. And can confirm it is blustery and cold here in Madison as well. But, you know, I have to say I love it because you know really? What that means? Yep, that means it is snow-making weather for all Wisconsin ski hills. I know they are just loving this weather right now. So really kicking the winter season off well with this blustery and cold weather.
Boy, you have that diplomatic approach. You got a bounce in your voice. I could tell you do this in your sleep, and you're very good at it. So, yeah, Pete, snow's a good thing. Crazy, blustery, cold. Who doesn't love that? But good for you.
You know, it's not everyone's cup of hot chocolate. You know, there's plenty to do inside. There's plenty to do outside. And, hey, the calendar is showing December, and there is a lot to do this holiday season. I'm talking Christmas markets, holiday light displays, you know, ideas for gifting people travel. And so I'm just really excited to jump into these topics with you today, Pete.
Let's do it. Let's the kidding around is pretty much over. Let's get down to business. What I want to start with is the House on the Rock, Christmas at the House on the Rock, because I have been meaning, Logan, since I moved back to Wisconsin to get to the House of the Rock. There's so much to see there, and I've had people on the show that have just been advocates for the place and how great it is, and I still haven't made it there. So let's start there. Tell us what Christmas at the House on the Rock is like.
You know, House on the Rock is just one of those unexpected attractions that make people really say, like, wow, that's in Wisconsin. It's this sort of menagerie of just odds and end collections throughout the year. And for that Christmas season, they kind of turn over the stuff and they bring in all these, you know, antique decorations and Christmas trees and throw up tinsel everywhere. But you have that base layer of wonder there at the House on the Rock. You know, they have their antique carousel and their giant whale and all these other year-round attractions there.
Oh, wow.
Just with, you know, Christmas painted over it. And I know it's an incredibly popular destination to visit during the season. I haven't been myself, but I've only heard good things about it.
That's so great. What do you think? I mean, you know, we have snow here. I'm not a big fan of winter, but I will say there is something special about Wisconsin
at the holidays and at Christmas. We have so many great Christmassy towns and events, and the snow just provides such a beautiful backdrop. What is your favorite place in the state? Or give me a couple at Christmas time. And they don't have to just be on your list. You could go into your personal favorites or whatever before we get into some of these other things here.
You know, one that I really like is Baraboo. The city was built around this kind of traditional town square, where right there with like the court building right in the center of it, and yeah, all these locally owned shops lining it. And I'm talking, you know, antique and rare bookstores and independent toy stores and all these unique places to go. And I know they go all out for December, having frequent events and activations and activities for the month. So really fun destination to check out in December. And I have to give a shout out to Hudson, Wisconsin, too. Right there along the St. Croix River, they've got this kind of historic brick and mortar Main Street. And it was actually the site of one, maybe two Hallmark movies. So, you know, it has that inherent Hallmark charm there.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Do you like Hallmark movies?
You know, hot and cold on them. Yeah.
They do say holidays somehow, though. Like, I don't really watch them, but I can't tell you the ads, seeing the ads upset me, because it just reminds me that Christmas is here. And I know Wisconsin has a connection to them. Conrad, we should do something about that at some point with Hallmark movies and their connections to Wisconsin, whether it's yeah, talent or settings or whatever. I didn't know they shot some Hallmark movies here until you said that, Logan. But you also have, there's another great event I know that was on your website at the Milwaukee Zoo. Talk about that a little bit.
So I think you're referring to the Milwaukee Zoo Lights.
Zoo Lights, yeah.
So that's just a really popular thing for a lot of zoos throughout Wisconsin to do. Milwaukee County Zoo, and then Henry Vilas and Madison, where you know, they just deck out their zoos in all these different displays and scenes of lights. Typically, they're kind of you know, it's like a animals at the zoo that are depicted in lights, and it's a really family friendly activity to do throughout throughout December.
That's great. Are you a fan of zoos to begin with?
Yeah, I enjoy checking out zoos, you know, especially if I have like a niece or nephew visiting. It's a good like option for younger visitors.
I have to be honest, my favorite Christmas settings in, and typically they're in cities, are like at zoos. Like, I've been to Milwaukee when it's been lit up, the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago. I haven't been to the Madison Zoo, but I hear it's great. I love, because I like the animals to begin with, but when they light it up, it's so extra special. The other thing is like skating rinks in downtown settings like Milwaukee. Do you ice skate?
I don't. I wish I could. It's a great shame of mine, but but I know we have like fantastic ice skating destinations throughout the state. I believe it's in Neenah, the Plaza. It's this really kind of charming Hallmark-esque newer ice skating destination. But then there in Milwaukee, there is Red Arrow Park, and that's really special. Right. That one, because they have a lot of adaptive ice skating equipment available. So for folks who may have a physical disability, it provides an option for them to get out and experience that joy and thrill of gliding over the ice.
It's so great. And I love, like, where I live in Marinette, Logan, when you come in from the Upper Peninsula from Menominee, there's just a ton of pine trees. And it's set on the river, and there's a logging museum there, and they have a tree, and they have lights. You just can't beat that when you drive into a city and see how they embrace Christmas. And I think a lot of cities around Wisconsin are like that. Let's talk about the Nutcracker, because that's on your page as well. You guys are promoting the Nutcracker at the in Oshkosh. Now, I know it's also playing in Madison. What can you tell me about the Nutcracker in Oshkosh?
So the Nutcracker at the Castle, it is this annual event at the Payne Art Center and Gardens. It's really this seasonal site that you have to take in. It transforms the Payne into scenes from that classic ballet story. So the Payne is an ornate former mansion, and they fill it with all these sort of elaborate decorated Christmas trees, massive nutcrackers, and so much more. And you can either take a self-guided tour of the property, or I would highly, highly suggest joining one of their guided tours where ballet dancers bring the story to life. Yeah. And the Nutcracker in the Castle, it's running through January 6th, so you have plenty of time. And I would also highly recommend when you're in Oshkosh to check out the Celebration of Lights. So this is a drive-through display that winds through the EAA grounds, and it features hundreds of thousands of lights. You're going to be wild. You know, there's tons of trees that are filled with lights, decorative scenes, animated displays, and so much more. That is open daily through New Year's Eve.
That's pretty cool. I've heard that's an absolute spectacle. So, yeah, that's probably something great that people could check out, too. And I'm the same way. Like with the Nutcracker, I don't know much about ballet. I think it's beautiful, and I've seen the Nutcracker probably 5 or 6 times in my life. And even though I'm not a fan necessarily, or an avid fan, I should say, it's spectacular. I mean, it's just, the music is perfect. The dancers, it's Christmas, it's Sugar Plum Fairies. I mean, you cannot do better than the Nutcracker at Christmas.
Yeah, there's just something warming about, you know, experiencing this sort of like cultural attraction in this really ornate setting with all the decorations around you. It kind of pulls you into the season, fills you with that sort of that celebratory feeling. And it's just wonderful.
Absolutely. All right, let's try to get through a couple more of these before we let you go. Let's bring it up here to Northeast Wisconsin, where you have a really cool event. There's a great event in Shawano, the Santa Parade. Can you tell us about that?
You know, I'm not familiar with the Santa Parade. I know a ton of communities throughout throughout Wisconsin love to put on Christmas parades. One I am familiar with is in Sparta, Wisconsin. That's happening this weekend, actually, and they have a fantastic outdoor Christmas market there.
Oh, nice.
That is running. That is running on Fridays and Saturdays up until December 21st. So if you make it out this Friday, December 6th, you can also take in their parade and their lighting ceremony, and then shop 33 different huts and get these handmade gifts that all the artisans are bringing there.
Well, you can't beat that. Like you said, it's December 6th at 6 p.m. All this information we're talking about, folks, is at the TravelWisconsin.com website. Logan Rogge is my guest. Logan, so one more thing. Let's keep it Northeast Wisconsin, the Polar Express train ride. I don't know how much you know about that, but that I know is a local favorite here in Green Bay and the Fox Cities.
Yeah, one of the wonderful things about Wisconsin is we have all these different trains throughout the state that are offering rides typically throughout the summer, but then in December they kind of make a switch and they take on that Christmassy feel. So I know there's the East Troy electric train in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm not familiar with the one you'd mentioned, but you know, typically it's this picturesque sort of cruise through the countryside. Occasionally, you know, it's a snow-laden landscape depending on what the weather's bringing that year. But, you know, typically a meet and greet with Santa, maybe some hot food and drink, and really a memorable way to take in the season as a family.
Well said, my friend. As always, this was fun. Thank you for always checking in with us and keeping us posted about all the great things happening around the state and all the great work you guys are doing at Travel Wisconsin. Logan Rogge, thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Pete.
Anytime. All right. That's Logan Rogge. His name is just fun to say, don't you think, Conrad?
Logan Yeah, definitely.
Like the first time I saw it, I thought it was Logan Rogue, and I was like, no, that's not working. Then he told me it was Rogue. I'm like, that's it. He crushed it. That's a great name. It's memorable.
It's just, yeah, like you said, it's just fun to say.
Yeah, and I'm stuck with Pete Schwabe, which is hard to say. And
Peach Cobbler.
Peach Cobbler, exactly. All right, our old buddy Emerson Lehman is coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Progress we have found a way to talk around the problem. Building towered foresight isn't anything at all. Why the sky and tell the sky and leave the sky and tell the sky.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Before a new Democratic governor takes office in January and it loses its supermajority, the GOP-controlled North Carolina legislature used a hurricane relief bill to strip power from the governor and attorney general. The draconian changes hinge on a pending veto override vote in the state house. The bare-knuckle bill was short on hurricane relief and long on keeping power out of the hands of Democrats. Earlier this year, a 2023 bill attempting to strip the power of the governor to appoint county election boards was struck down by the state's Court of Appeals. Now, Senate Bill 382 tries to remove that power by shifting it to the incoming state auditor, a Republican. In his veto message, current Governor Roy Cooper called the bill a sham and unconstitutional, and Democrats have declared it an outrageous power grab. The bill also includes a proposed constitutional amendment requiring voter ID for mail-in ballots and bans the Attorney General from opposing the legislature in court. The state Senate voted December 2nd to override Cooper's veto, and the House vote is pending. North Carolina Newsline reports that it's unclear whether Republicans have the vote in the House to override, with three House GOP lawmakers unhappy with the inadequate hurricane relief funding having voted against the original bill. We have the text of the bill and great local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, if you're a regular listener to Nightlight, and I hope you are, you're going to recognize, and you're watching on the stream, you're going to recognize this gentleman sitting next to me here, and you probably recognize him also from his day job. He doesn't just come on Nightlight and pull in the cash because he's popular from this show. He is the co-host of the Action 2 News This Morning.
There's cash involved?
Yeah. Conrad has a per diem we give him. He's supposed to allocate that.
But, I see how that's been going, Conrad. All right.
You haven't gotten a taste yet?
Not yet.
All right. I just got a text. This is exciting. Our friend Kristen Lyerly, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, will be on the show Monday at 6:35. Conrad, please make a note of it. She took time out to run for office. So we couldn't have her on because then we would, you know, well, this show isn't political to begin with, but
I actually interviewed her during that race. So
she's so great. Yeah. I'm excited. I love her as a guest and talking to her about medical stuff. She's an open book and you can ask her pretty much anything. And she is painfully honest.
There you go, Conrad. Write it down. Don't forget.
Monday at 6:35, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. That'll be fun. But right now, having some serious issues. What do you do when you're a news anchor and you got that frog in your throat?
Oh, man. You know, it's so difficult because the 4:30 half hour, we kind of joke that that's our warm-up for our voices, right. Too. Like, I'll be singing in the car on the way to work to try and get it going. But, yeah, still clearing the throat. That first half hour is tough. But after that, it kind of settles itself a little bit.
Have you ever had, like, a coughing fit or you've got a tickle in your throat?
Oh, yeah.
You can't, like... What do? You suck it up and power through it?
So
do you just come clean?
My trick has been, I mean, yeah, what are you going to do, right? Like people know we're human beings. Right. My trick, if like I have a real sore, scratchy throat or something, I have a bottle of honey in my desk at work. And I'll just, my producers will look at me kind of weird sometimes because I'll just take the bottle and just a shot of honey right before I go out on the, right out to the desk. And it usually soothes it enough that you can kind of power through it. But I mean, then every time like we toss to some sound or something, you're clearing your throat. And
you think a producer would not look twice or think that's strange? Cause that's,
I mean, it could just be me
trade.
Judging myself and just assuming that they're judging me and really they're not. That's very possible, but hey, it works. So I'm gonna keep doing it.
You've never had that like where you just can't stop coughing and your eyes are watering, like an Albert Brooks moment in broadcast news?
I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like I would remember that, right? If I had. I don't think I've had it to the point where I needed to, like, step out of the studio, knock on the wood,
the fake wood that's in this table,
because, I mean, I'm sure there's a time for everything, but it hasn't happened yet.
You'd be on one of those blooper reels they send out with newscasts, which are so funny. Do you ever watch those?
I just found a new Instagram page that is dedicated to news bloopers. And
oh, God, I could lose myself.
I have not ended up on any of them that I know of yet. If someone has seen me on one, please send it my way because I want to see it. Like, you don't want to end up on there, but you're also kind of like, oh.
That kind of makes you more lovable,
like,
though.
Hey, I made it. All right. Like, you're going to have a moment at some point, so it'd be funny to have other people laugh at you, too.
I saw this blooper. It was a newscaster in Oregon, and he has a lot of these. Like, he's kind of a funny guy.
Sure.
I think he's probably from the 80s or 90s, and he said two cows were on the loose, Black and Gus, and it was Black Angus, but he didn't catch that, and his partner starts cracking up, and he couldn't even catch his breath. He was laughing so hard. He's like, oh, no, did I say Black and Gus? Like,
there's so many moments that I wish people at home watching could see what's going on in the studio. Like, we're a fun team. It's fun. We have fun on the air, but off the air too. And it's just commercial breaks and things like that. Especially when you're up that early in the morning, right? You got to keep it loose. You got to keep it fun. Yeah. And yeah, that definitely happens.
It's funny that you say that because there are days my house is empty now during the day, and that's typically where I prep. And I won't talk to people. There are days, usually I have a phone call or two for work or whatever, but usually sometimes there are days I don't talk to anybody. And then I get here and I'm like, my voice just doesn't work. I can't imagine getting up when you do at the crack of even before dawn.
Yeah. Dark and early.
You probably have to sing or something to get your voice ready.
Oh, right? Yeah. You got to pump yourself up a little bit. A little Natasha Bedingfield and Written. That's on my pre-show playlist.
Conrad, let's find that song. I want to hear what Emerson is.
get it bumping.
I need some inspiration.
I probably won't be singing it, but it'll inspire you a little bit. Yeah, it's an upbeat little get you going in the morning. Yeah.
You know, well, let's play for him too. The Jacksons. Have you ever heard the song "Can You Feel It"?
I feel like probably
okay,
and I just don't know the title of it. But
let's find that for a break.
A good chance
that'll get you going in the morning.
Right.
You'll do like a half marathon before you hit the studio.
I'll add it to the playlist for tomorrow.
So all right, let's talk. I was blown away. The last time you were here, you told me, no, you're a young guy. You've only been at WBAY a year now, right?
A year next week.
Wow.
Next Wednesday, 1 year.
That's great.
So you're celebrating a year this week. Congratulations.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. And
Thank you.
A week after your 1 year is my 1 year. So.
Well, you've had something to do with my success because you've been on this is like your fourth or fifth time on the show. I haven't been invited on the morning show, Conrad. Make a note of that.
listen, we can see what we can do about
that.
Kidding.
I got to drop a few more pounds before
it's been a pleasure, though, to be coming back. I'm just glad that Conrad keeps texting me saying to come back, especially this week. I know I was supposed to be in tomorrow, but you guys even adjusted to my schedule and said, yeah, come in on Thursday. So I appreciate
you.
That. It's always special.
So last year, thank you, by the way, but you won an Emmy.
Yeah, two years ago, 2022. Yeah, it's been 2 years now.
Right,
so,
when you were in Milwaukee.
When I was in Milwaukee,
okay.
Yep.
So, all right, so you kind of went there a little bit last time you were here. And I think you showed a video of when you found out or something like that.
Yeah, talked about it, yep.
How is that kind of a drag? Like, is it like winning a Super Bowl for a head coach where it's like, well, I've always got the ring, so I'm in the greatness, but and then you don't win another one? Or do you expect to win now every year? I'm sure you want to win every year.
I think it's been kind of tricky because when I won back in 2022, that was the first time I'd ever had anything submitted, had been nominated, and I won right away.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh, this is awesome. And then I went back and I was nominated again in 2023, didn't win. And then this past season, 2024, 2023, 2024, it kind of splits between the 2 years. Had two nominations, once with some folks from CBS 58 and then one for our morning show. Unfortunately, we didn't win either category. So, like, yeah, you're bummed. It stings a little bit, but it's always just so cool to be in that room. You get
to
throw your tux on and, you know, you're getting all your photos and they have, like, the red carpet thing. And, I mean, just I'm in a room with some of my – idols that I grew up watching, and you're nominated alongside them, and that's a pretty special feeling. So that was great in itself.
Fantastic. And I'm sure even the nomination, you're like, all right, I didn't make a wrong career choice. I'm doing something right.
I'm doing okay.
That's got to feel great.
We're doing all right.
All right. Emerson Lehman is here. He is the co-host of the Action 2 News This Morning, and we'll have more with Emerson. He's hanging out with us tonight like he does so often. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talk to me. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned President Biden is considering pardoning select Trump foes to spare them possible prosecution in the future. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says California Senator-elect Adam Schiff could be among them.
In a recent interview, Schiff suggested that such preemptive pardons are a bad idea and unnecessary, that ultimately federal courts would block any attempts by the president-elect to prosecute any of his perceived rivals.
New details about the still unidentified gunman who killed UnitedHealthcare CEO in New York. CBS's Anna Schechter.
The person of interest that police want to question took a bus from Atlanta to New York City in the days prior to the attack.
Northern Californians braced as a magnitude 7 earthquake triggered tsunami warnings. Angie Chavez was on the job at a restaurant in Rio Del.
I'm having to dodge all the bottles and merchandise that's falling out of there while also holding on to my two coworkers.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In Nothing to See Here news, superstar Taylor Swift was named the number one most streamed artist on Spotify for 2024, according to Variety. That makes 2 years in a row for the pop icon. Swift songs pulled almost 27 billion streams. She was off to a good start when her album Tortured Poets Society racked up 300 million streams in 1 day and a billion in the first week. When playing a legendary character as the lead in a movie, it is probably a huge vote of confidence to get the person who you are portraying's endorsement. Timothy Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. Dylan recently took to social media to say that he is sure that Chalamet will be completely believable in the role. If Dylan had actually said those words, it would have sounded like Chalamet. Chalamet is already getting Oscar buzz for his portrayal as Dylan, A Complete Unknown, opens Christmas Day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, and it will be a little warmer. We'll get to 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 18 tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. 40 tomorrow by Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Another good workout song. Kind of gets you up, right?
100%.
Yeah. I was telling Conrad when I work, I'm going to go out. Tonight is one of my workout nights. I go, I just do it like a 30-minute weight routine once a week.
It's arms, pretty harmless. Legs?
Arms, a little bit of legs, but okay. I have a knee issue. So I mostly do arms. Knee. Yeah, I want to be one of those guys that's like really huge on top with like stick legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the look I'm going for.
Sure.
I think chicks dig that. But but tonight is my night, and I'm like that guy. Since I only work out for like 30 minutes in a gym a week, like I'll walk at home, but I'll just do my 30-minute resistance training. I go in there from here, and I'm wearing my like radio clothes. I'm not going to go put spandex on.
Set the trend, man. Make your own trend.
Right. But I feel like I'm like one of those guys on the playground that wore hard shoes and jeans in a pickup basketball game. Like everyone's looking at me like because they take it
the
so
skater
seriously.
Skater shoes that are just flopping around on the concrete. Yeah.
I don't know. What do you wear to the gym? Do you go to the gym?
Yeah, I mean, on occasion, I go to play pickleball, and I'm in my pickleball attire.
Dude, let's dive into that.
I teed
you up there. All right, what is new? I told you before when you got here, you told me I should look into the pickleball event at the Marinette Community Rec Center, and
yeah.
I did, and then I forgot about it. I saw your post on social media, and I wanted to go there and get sound bites, maybe play pickleball, but you know, I don't think I would be that competitive at pickleball.
You know, you said that you were going to come watch.
Yeah.
I won Friday night.
Nice.
Shout out to my partner, Carolyn Flood. We won the Friday night tournament, and then I played with her brother, Chris, on Saturday. We did not win.
Okay.
That's all right, though.
So Carolyn's better than Chris. That's what I'm taking away.
You said that. I'm not going to. I'm going to plead the fifth because I'm playing with both of them this weekend again.
Oh.
But, yeah. Marinette was a great tournament. They raised a bunch of money for breast cancer awareness, which nice. Was the big mission this year. It was the Pink Out tournament. So they raised, I forgot how much money it was that they posted about it, but awesome fundraiser. That was a great time. Again, I played Friday, Saturday, and then my parents played on Sunday in their first tournament.
In Marinette?
In Marinette, their first tournament ever. They drove up, stayed with me Saturday night. I drove them up, or I drove up with them on Sunday, and they played their first tournament. And
Mr. and Mrs. Lehman
Mr.
were a team.
Mr. and Mrs. Lehman
wow,
were teamed
nice.
Up. I don't think they needed marriage counseling afterwards. There were some tense moments, but they played great. They had fun, and they are signed up. I got the whole family were signed up for a tournament in Lake Geneva in like 2 weeks. So,
oh, nice.
My sister and brother-in-law, my little cousins, my aunt and uncle, everybody's all signed up.
Oh,
they're all going
gosh.
Down to play. It's a family affair, man.
That's fun. Now, all right, people make jokes. And when I say people, I mean me, about pickleball because
yeah.
it has the identity of being kind of an older person's sport.
We're trying to break that, but yes,
it's
it does.
Not any. You're right. A lot of young people are playing it. But when you played in Marinette in advanced, and when you lost, was that to an older duo or
no? That was so in the bracket that I was in for both the winning one and the one we lost. It was. For the most part, I would say people around my age, maybe.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Between, I don't know, like 20s to 40s was probably the average range. There's a couple that may have okay. been in their 50s, but like in shape 50s.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, like as you're kind of hitting more of these advanced levels now, it's younger, I don't want to say more athletic people, but just people that are faster on the court, they
it's
can kind of chase,
on. Yeah, with
chase
younger,
balls down, and yeah. you know, you're, yeah, it's there's still some. I say this every time I'm asked about it. There are some 60 plus year olds that will run me all around a court because they're so smart and they know how to work the angles
angle.
And work. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like it, and that's what I love so much about pickleball is you could be an 8-year-old playing against a 70-year-old, and yes, it's going to be a competitive, fun match, and you're just, you're meeting new people, you're having conversations, having fun, getting some exercise in, and just
right,
enjoying kind of scratching that competitive itch against whoever wants to play.
You just reminded me of a story. I may have told you this last time you were here because it cracks me up. Supposedly, Drew Brees, who's a great
athlete.
Big pickleball guy, but a big tennis guy when he was younger.
Okay.
And there was a story going around the internet, this maybe 2 years ago, that he beat, it was either Andy Murray or Andy Roddick. When they were young, he beat him at tennis. And then the story came out, Drew Brees was 15 and the other guy was like 8. So it doesn't
really
count.
Those are small details.
Right.
Really small details.
So it gets heated. It's a sport like anything. Like you said, you joked, but your parents, you know, if it gets heated between teammates, it might be like, oh, this guy's not carrying his weight or whatever. What do you do if some 70-year-old guy is so ticked off he wants to throw down with you? What's going to happen?
Bring it on, man.
Yeah, okay.
You got to stand your ground.
But you're like a public personality. You're
not
Emmy
on the pickleball court. Not on the pickleball court. Pickleball Emerson and news anchor Emerson are two different people. I will say that. And sometimes they do mesh together, and it's, I mean, it's fine. Like, people will come up, oh, are you that guy? Like, yeah, that, how you doing? Like, good to see you. Thanks for watching, kind of thing. But like, I don't know. It's fun to just go play pickleball and
just be a guy.
Just play pickleball, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah, I enjoy that. And it's, I mean, there's like some of the folks I play with, they joke around, oh, what's up, prompter boy, or, you know, things like they like to,
the trash
they
talk?
Joke around. That's the trash talk, yeah. I guess. Yeah. But nah, man, it's great. It's the, especially like the community up here in Green Bay in the Fox Valley, like the pickleball scene up here. It's just only continuing to grow. There's a bunch of indoor facilities opening up right now. It's growing in the outdoor season as well. In the summer months, just so many people are experiencing it for the first time and being like, oh, this is awesome. This is what everyone's been doing for the past 5 years. Like, why have I waited this long? So
have you had the opportunity to do anything about pickleball in your anchor job in the morning show at WBAY?
Yeah, I did. I did a story a couple, oh man, I think it was back in September now, which is a couple months ago already. Time's flying by. But I went around and showcased a few of the different indoor facilities, Pickle and Bags down in Oshkosh, Next Level Pickleball in Little Chute, and then the Pickleball Connection in Manitowoc. We went and just highlighted those different places and kind of showed people, hey, if you're enjoying playing outside in the summertime, you need something to do in the winter too. There's a bunch of places to go check out. So
how many people do recognize you? Because I would say maybe even more so in a community this size, news people or on-air talent like you or Rachel Manick or whomever are very recognizable. I think people, I don't know if people in huge cities look to local news as much as they used to. You guys are like really celebrities. So when you go out and you're playing pickleball, and you made a joke about trash talking, but like the way you're dressed right now, and no one would go, oh, that's the guy from W. You're like a regular dude.
Yeah.
But how often does that happen?
I mean, I'm always a regular dude.
Yeah.
I think it's funny you mentioned the big city thing. So, like, down in Milwaukee, it might have happened 2 or 3 times in, the 2 years I was down there.
Yeah.
Unless, like, I went, like, back home to Kewaskum, then it's a little bit more because more people are kind of aware of what you're doing from the small hometown. But one of my friends in Milwaukee who had worked up here in Green Bay said, you're going to realize that people watch very closely when you move
up here. I'm not crazy.
No,
yeah.
No. And it happens. Like, I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh yeah, every time I walk out the door, someone's like, hey, I saw you. Like,
even go to the bathroom.
That's not what's happening. Yeah. No, yeah. But I mean, like, the grocery store, it'll happen a bit. I think sometimes people, they look at you and I can tell that they're like, how do I know you? Or I know you.
Do we go to high school together?
I'm not going to say anything. And it's usually older people, folks a few years older than I am.
Yeah,
But I love it when people actually say something, because it's kind of uncomfortable when they're just staring at you from a small distance. I'd rather
maybe
someone
creepy too. You don't know what's gonna happen.
I'd rather have someone say, hey, I love watching, or hey, like, you're that guy. I'm like, yep, that's me. I'll have a conversation. It's a good time.
What's the my guest is Emerson Lehman. He is one of the co-hosts of the Action 2 News this morning here in Green Bay on WBAY, and he's a frequent nightlight guest here. We love having him in studio. What is the best part about your job? Like, you're part of the community, you're recognizable. There is like sort of a fame element or a recognizability element, but people probably don't understand how much work goes into what you do. They just see you on TV getting to be out front and center, but it's a hard job. What's the best part about the job and what's the worst part?
Oh, man, the worst part has to be the hours. And that's coming from someone who loves morning news. It's tough when, I'll just use pickleball as an example because we've been talking about it. You know, I play in a group on Tuesday nights. Well, they usually play until 9 o'clock and then there's a bar connected to the facility. Like, oh, we're going to go have a drink or we're going to go hang out for a bit. Come on up. And I'm like, I'm ditching out at 8 o'clock because I got to go home and shower up and go to bed so I can be up at, 2:30 a.m. the next day. So like that part is tough. I love, though, having the ability to, like you said, kind of be recognizable. But I think just for people to trust myself, my team, to be welcomed into their homes every morning.
Right.
I mean, you can turn on the TV and you've got however many stations to choose from. You can not watch the news at all. But people make the conscious effort to turn on Channel 2 and say, I trust Tammy, I trust Emerson, I trust Steve, I trust Aisha, I trust the whole team, Maria. I trust them to provide me with the news, what I need to know every morning, and I enjoy listening to them. Like, folks will comment on our Facebook saying, oh, you feel like part of the family because you're with us every morning. I'm drinking my coffee with you every morning. And I think sometimes when you, like you said, it's a lot of work. I mean, some people think we're on air from 4:30 to 7:30 and that's it. No, we're the show gets prepped and then we're working on other stories afterwards. We're doing all this, a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people don't see. And I think when you kind of get lost in all that, it can be tough to forget sometimes. Like, it's a pretty cool job to be on TV every morning and have people waking up and trusting you to...
wanting to hear what you have to say.
Wanting to hear what you have to say and what information you have to provide. It's a true honor and it's something you can't take for granted.
You just said the name Maria. What is her last name?
Parmigiani.
Yes. Okay. So I reached out to her. I think I told you this last time.
The newest member of our team.
Yeah, Traffic, right?
Yeah, she's been here for a while now, but yeah, she's the newest member.
She was on, I don't know if she was on with Mino and the mayor. Yep. Or I saw her and I thought, oh, she'd be a great guest. So I reached out to her. She said, yes, I'm still living in Fond du Lac, but I'd love to be on the show when I move to Green Bay because I get up so early. I didn't know her. I don't think we had maybe two mutual friends, but since we became Facebook friends, everything she posts pops up. I don't know what algorithm she's working with, but she is a master at social media.
She is. She's great at social media. She's great at providing the traffic updates. I mean, she had a busy day today and yesterday with all the weather and stuff that was going on, and she's been a great addition to the team for sure.
That's great. And then you got Tammy, who's been there a long time. You have a nice, well-rounded group there. That's fantastic. Let's talk about what was I going to ask you? Oh, Conrad, we wanted to get Emerson's take on its national, what is it again? Okay.
Bathtub Party Day?
Yeah, you're a news guy. Tell us what to make of this. It's National Bathtub Party Day.
Like hanging out with the rubber duckies or?
That's if you want to put an innocent take on it. Yeah, probably something like that.
I don't have a bathtub, so I don't know what this is. I have a shower.
You ever just sit on the floor of your shower and pretend it's a bathtub?
No, I can't say I have.
Yeah, me neither. It's
also very specific, though.
So I don't know what to make of that. Like, that's like that sounds like a 70s.
There's
swanky.
So many national days. Like,
oh, I know.
Yesterday was National Cookie Day.
Oh, I like that.
We're big fans.
I'm a fan. Absolutely. Especially this time of year. Do you have a favorite Christmas cookie?
I don't like frosting.
Oh.
So my aunt, when we like will decorate Christmas cookies, because I still like decorating them, show my artistic side, but I'm just not going to eat any of them. But she'll always like, I love like the shortbread, just sugar cookies, but like without frosting. So she'll like cook some sprinkles into them. So I still have like the festiveness. And so I appreciate that. And then my mom makes this like, it's like a pie cookie that's like jelly and pie crust. And I don't know what it's called, but that's also delicious.
The jelly cookie.
Yeah, that sounds.
I'm not a fan. I think fruit in cakes or cookies, it just doesn't work for me.
I would usually agree, but I think there's so much, if there's more of the pie crust stuff and there's just like a little bit of that jelly, I'm okay with it. I'm just not a huge sweets person.
Oh, that's good.
For my birthday, I'm now 28 years old.
Yeah.
And the team knew, Tammy had been emailing with my mother and she brought in a sausage platter instead of, the
cupcakes and stuff. Because, oh. Well, they brought cupcakes too, but they brought in a sausage cheese platter because they know I don't like sweets. So
whatever, wherever you work, it's like they're trying to kill you. My wife is a teacher. She's like, it's donuts. And it's like, what are they doing to us? Like, they pay for our health care. Crazy. All right, Emerson Lehman is here. We'll have a few minutes left with Emerson when we come back. Maybe we'll touch on the Packers and Lions because realistically, if you were going to go watch the game, you'd already be watching it. So if you're talking about it, I don't think I'm going to chase listeners or viewers away for that. So stick with us, folks. Emerson's hanging out with us. We got a few more minutes. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning.
The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is here to help protect you against scams. If you receive a text or email about a delayed package, find a popular item sold online at a deep discount, or get a phone call from a government agency, loved one, or stranger asking for money or private information, that is a scam. Don't respond to these messages. Report them to DADCAP and learn more at datcp.wi.gov. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year. But do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massinellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I always joke, I'll put this on at the gym in my headphones, and I just... It's like I'm at a high school dance.
I can go with that.
Lifting weights. Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
Jackson 5. Great stuff. Did you find Emerson's song?
Oh, I thought you were talking about that one.
Oh, no. I wanted to hear. What was that song? I want to hear that.
Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
Okay.
We talked about Sydney Sweeney one time.
Did we?
Yeah. That was
one of my exes.
In her movie with Glenn Powell.
Oh, yeah. The my daughter saw it like 8 times and I can't remember the name.
I'm actually blanking on the name right now too.
This is not us. We don't like each other. Something like that.
Anyone but you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was like the soundtrack for that movie. And I feel like it just reignited that song.
So did you see the, okay. So that movie, or that was a song before the movie, but then.
Yeah. And then that movie kind of brought it back.
I feel like some of those rom-coms in the theaters, the bigger budget ones, are no different than Lifetime movies, but it comes down to who the actor is and maybe the tone that the director sets. But we did something, Emerson. We were talking about Christmas movies during the break, and you said your family likes the Lifetime Christmas movies. You make fun of them.
Yeah. I like Hallmark Christmas movies. My father, I'm sure the DVR in my parents' house right now is probably hitting the 99% full, and they're going to have to go through and delete some stuff because... he could have seen it 6 times already, but he's still going to record it to watch it again. My sister's right there with him.
That's hilarious.
It's a sickness, I think.
So here's one I found online.
OK. Okay.
I can't even share it on the air, but yeah. I saw that last year. Somebody put it on social media, and I could not stop laughing. So we made our own parody.
I'm excited about
of,
this.
Of a Christmas trailer from the LifeMark Network. Conrad, let's play that for our guest, Emerson. LifeMark's Very Melancholy Christmas continues with this week's film, The Christmas Shoes.
The holiday spirit is alive in the little town of Port Denmark, Wisconsin. The picturesque streets are lined with Christmas lights and good cheer. And Christmas cheer is teeming in the people of Port Denmark and in a very special pair of shoes.
Honey, these shoes were handed down from your great-grandmother to your grandmother to me, and now I'm giving them to you. We've all met the love of our lives while we were wearing the Christmas shoes. And if you're wearing them when you're proposed to, your marriage will be full of love and romance and prosperity. You and Derek are so good together. If Derek doesn't propose, I don't want it to be because you weren't wearing the Christmas shoes. Oh, sweetheart, he would be a fool to let you go. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Mom.
This Christmas, feel the love of the Christmas shoes playing all month long on LifeMark.
Conrad with a cameo in there.
Now, we don't know if Derek proposed to Conrad, but that's
Are you wearing the Christmas shoes right now?
Sad story about them, they don't fit.
Oh,
oh darn
they're,
the luck.
They're heels.
Devastation. Devastating.
Conrad's Christmas shoes would be high tops. Anyway, all right, we thought you would like that. So, Emerson, what do you have a favorite Christmas movie or your go-to every year?
Oh, the Santa Claus trilogy.
Oh, nice.
Big fan of Tim Allen, like, in that series. I really enjoy that. I used to love when they would have the 25 days until Christmas, like all of those animated shorts on when ABC Family used to be its own network, and they would have the like the
marathon or whatever.
Yeah, like they'd have, you know, Rudolph and the Santa Claus is coming to town, and just all those animated from like the 50s and 60s, like those.
That's so great.
I still enjoy seeing those when they come on. And then there's a Disney one where like there's three different Disney Mickey Mouse stories all in one. I think it's like Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That one too, like the nostalgia with that.
Because you were little.
I was little and I grew up watching that. Yes. And it's just like everybody
like
loves
all,
Disney,
like, locked
right?
into the place during Christmas and they have to.
And like there's one Mickey is trying to like, he like has to sell his harmonica, and Minnie sells her her little necklace thing, and then they're like, get it, like it's just like it's cool, man. And then
that's so
great. One like Max and Goofy are going through a mall on skateboard. I love that movie so much.
That's great. And the Santa Claus trilogy is huge too. We got a couple texts we want to get here to here before we get out of here. Christine from the 414 says Hallmark movies are awful.
Christine, so, I'm not arguing with you.
So sanitized and phony, but there were a couple I actually liked, especially the one with Doris Roberts as Mrs. Miracle. But no, I prefer better quality without sanitation. Chris Casper heard us talking about the Packers and the Lions and says, is there a way they both can lose?
It could be a tie, I guess.
Skull. He's a Viking fan. He's a crack engineer here.
Go Pack, go.
He's not an engineer of crack. He's a crack engineer. There's a big difference.
he's definitely a tech
genius here at Civic Media. On tomorrow night's show, ladies and gentlemen, is a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr will be here with new music and great conversation. We've got Mike Clemens at 6:35, and then Lisa O'Hearn will be here from the Sister Bay Historical Society to talk about an event that's happening there leading up to Christmas. So that'll be a fun show, too. What else, man? Tell us another thing. Tell us another Emerson thing before we get out of here. Are you racing? Do you race in the winter?
No.
Is it possible?
I mean, it's possible. There's some snowmobile races that'll be taking place. Yeah. I used to, when I was a child, I was a snowmobile racer. Now I just do the nice trail riding and whatnot. But there's the song for you. It's kicking in here. Hey. I want to give a shout out though.
Yeah,
we're short one viewer tonight. A good friend of mine, Bob Schneider, passed away last month.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He was always watching. He'd always be listening to this.
So
we're short one tonight. Shout out to Bobby. He would have been listening along. I know he is upstairs, but congratulations to you guys, man. 1 year.
Thank you.
This is cool.
Well said on behalf of your friend, and thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. You're a huge part of it. We love having you here.
Let's rock year two, man.
Absolutely. Predictions, quick, guys. Packers, Lions.
34-31 Pack.
28-21 Pack.
Do you see a score?
It is 7-0 Lions right now.
He's looking right at the computer.
That's right. Well, if people haven't twitched over yet, they're probably still listening. So thank you for sticking with us. We'll be back tomorrow night to do this all again. Thank you to Emerson Lehman. Thank you to Logan Rogge. And thank you to Faith Flynn. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome civic media sports guru Mike Clemens, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins the show with great music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.